Welcome everybody to the LCJ Q&A podcast. I'm Lights Camera Jackson, Solar Opposites, new very funny show premiering on Hulu this Friday, May 8th. Joining me right now is Josh Bicell, the executive producer of the show. Josh, how you doing?
Hey, thanks Jackson. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
You are welcome. Way back in August of 2018, it was announced that this show was not only getting picked up by Hulu, but for two seasons. That is pretty cool. Were you surprised by that?
You know, I think there was a couple factors that went into it. First, I think they really believed in Justin and Mike and the show and the script. And obviously, those guys have great track record with Rick and Morty. And then I think Hulu just has been an amazing partner for us. I think they believed in the show, they saw its possibilities, and you know, with animation, it's, once you get up and running, it's, you never want to stop. And so I think they felt like if we pick up two seasons, that gives the guys, you know, the ability to really look at 16 episodes instead of 8 episodes. So I was a little bit surprised, but obviously now it's starting to be the norm a little bit, and, so we were just excited. We thought it would be a great opportunity to really hit the ground running.
Yeah, and this show has had a lot of buzz, especially since San Diego Comic-Con. I went to San Diego Comic-Con for the first time in July, and it was such a wild experience. I had a really awesome time. How was it for you promoting this show and getting the buzz going at San Diego Comic-Con?
I mean, I hadn't been there in a while. I was there years ago. I went once with American Dad and maybe once with Psych, and it's amazing, first of all, how gigantic it is now. But we were excited because, you know, no one really knew what the show was. We only had a short clip to play. But to have that many people packed into that ballroom and to watch them experience the clip in that way was amazing. It was so exciting. We were just, you know, even back then, last summer, we were like, oh, we got to get the show out as soon as we can.
Yeah, yeah. Where were you in production at that period of time when you were premiering the clip?
Last June, we'd written all the scripts for season one, and we were just in the middle of animation. So we were starting to get back the animatics and the colors, and we were sort of deep into that at that point. We didn't know yet when we were going to air. There was a thought at one point that we were going to air earlier than May. So we were pretty deep, and we'd seen almost at least some of all the episodes, but the whole first season was already done.
Gotcha, gotcha. Well, it's got to feel good now, at almost a year later, 9 months later, to finally get this out there.
Yeah, it's so exciting. I mean, I've this is not my first animated thing I've been involved with, but this to me is just so unique. And I think once people, you know, for me, it was the first time that I'd been able to do a show that where all the episodes would drop at once. You don't normally see that in animation. So for us, we really took that as a challenge to, like, not only to have each episode be funny and episodic on its own, but to really create this through line that, without giving too much away, that we've done with this show.
What I noticed in watching the first episode, which is really funny and edgy, and I laughed through a lot of it, there is a character called Fun Bucket. And Fun Bucket is just really funny, and what a storyline you go with. Where was the initial inspiration to have Fun Bucket be a central part of the first episode of the show?
Back when Justin or Mike, I can't remember who, really had this idea of, like, we wanted to create, especially for someone like Corvo, who, you know, on the surface says he doesn't like America, it's crass, it's commercial. We wanted to create sort of like a great classic Saturday morning cartoon, you know, sort of classic American TV character. And that's really where Fun Bucket came from, you know, and that someone that Corvo could immediately fall in love with, because it seems, on the surface at least, that he's not from Earth, and he also feels different than everybody else. But Right. Really, he's just this classic Saturday morning cartoon character.
Yeah.
Then obviously it takes a dark turn.
Yes, you take him in some wild directions. I mean, did you personally, or do you know somebody who's had a crazy meeting Santa or the Easter Bunny or some kind of character at the mall experience that went wrong?
Well, I mean, I personally don't have one, but we've talked a lot about that in the writer's room, on just how those things are so, like, the thin line between kids believing that it's really the Easter Bunny or Santa, and like the mall situation, and how all of that is so ripe to always go wrong. And so I think we knew that there would be fun to be played with that.
you incorporate so many pop culture references. And, you know, the Dick Wolf t-shirt that Terry wears is really funny. You know, what kinds of research really goes into incorporating those entertainment-related details and having them make sense within the story?
Well, first of all, the Dick Wolf shirt is, I think, my favorite. Terry wears a bunch of different shirts, and that was one of our writers came up with that. And to me, that's just, I can't believe that's not a shirt. Like, we were like, we should just be selling those shirts. We'd make so much money. I think in the second season, we're doing someone, Florence Pugh, maybe we have one. But Dick Wolf just felt like such a great idea for a shirt. You know, I personally, for me, I mean, you've seen my background, Happy Endings, American Dad, Psych, like, I love reference heavy stuff. I think it just places you in the world and in a time. But I also love being able to do, like, references that work over lots of time. So we have a combination of, like, very up-to-date stuff and that stuff that was funny 10, 15 years ago and stuff that's funny now. And so it's really just about the right place and the right time for it. But we also love the idea, especially for a character like Terry and characters like Terry and Jesse who love America and love Earth so much. Like, they're, you know, if you're someone like that that consumes all this media, social media, every of it, all your whole world revolves around pop culture references. So it was really important for us to make sure that we put that stuff in the show.
And all of it lands. I mean, it's really funny, and especially when Terry mentions questioning whether Frasier is real. Now, I will tell you, Josh, Frasier is real. In fact, Frasier is so real that Kelsey Grammer came to a bar near where I live, about 20 minutes outside of where I live, in January, and he served his Faith American Ale at this bar, and hundreds of people came out. So having Frasier in a bar, yes, yes. So he is real. Tell Terry that.
Where do you live? Or you could just tell me the area, because I know all your fans may show up at your house.
This was in Schenectady, New York, just outside of Albany, the capital. Yeah, and Kelsey's in the Catskills, been working on this Faith American Ale for a while now, and he came to this bar. It is so cool. So tell Terry that Frasier is real.
I will. I worked on a show in the Paramount lot years ago that was right next door to where the Frasier stage was, and Kelsey Grammer and Dr. Phil are the only two people I've ever seen to get to park right at their stages. On the Paramount lot. And then I actually just shot a show that just premiered on Netflix a couple weeks ago that we shot on the Frasier stage. It was really cool.
Really? Is that the big show show?
Yeah, that's the big show show, yeah.
Wow, so that was on the Frasier set. Were there interesting vibes doing that on that set?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, very successful, interesting vibes. And they have pictures and all that stuff. It's very cool.
Wow.
Yeah, Frasier was the perfect one for us. I think that was a Mike McMahon joke. Just because Frasier, you know, it just fit perfectly with, of course, Terry would love Frasier and feel like he has to be real.
Yes, yes. Josh Bysell, the executive producer of Solar Opposites, with me right now on the LCJ Q&A. Little visual animation detail I noticed, that little creatures come out of Corvo and Terry's heads when they cry. How did you decide on that?
So it's actually, they're stress creatures when they're stressed. They're called Googlers, that's basically when that's their sweat. Like, they don't really sweat, so when they're stressed or when they're freaking out, Googlers come out of their skin. And we actually have a later episode where we really dive into what the Googlers are and what it means for their bodies, and it's sort of an episode, the theme of it is, like, stress can literally kill you. Like, so there's a great episode coming up where we dive into the Googlers and what they mean. But yeah, so that is throughout all the episodes. When they get really stressed, Googlers come out of their skin, and they're actually these really cute little tiny creatures that dance around a little bit and scurry off.
Yeah, good. Because, yeah, I noticed that, and I was like, yeah, I haven't seen something like this before when it comes to animation characters. So, yeah, good for you guys doing that.
All the little, like, especially for Mike and Justin, it really was important for them to have, like, these little sci-fi things throughout it, that, like, at the end of the day, you know, to remember that it still is a sci-fi show. And so all those little touches I always love, because I just feel like they add the little sci-fi element to the show.
Sure. Yeah, you've done a lot of other things with animation. Definitely want to dive into a couple of these. First of all, you co-wrote the Trolls Holiday Special that aired on NBC a few years ago. Have you seen Trolls World Tour yet? And what do you think about the whole releasing it on VOD success that the movie has had?
So we have worked with DreamWorks for years. Old writing partner and I worked on Father of the Pride, which was their first CGI. So we'd done a lot of DreamWorks for DreamWorks for years, and we knew the producers, and they had had us come and punch up some of the first Trolls movie. And when this came about, we just, you know, our kids were a little younger, and we just thought it would be a great idea. It was so much fun, and it's on Netflix now. It's crazy how many emails I still get from people that say, "Oh my God, I watched the Trolls Holiday Special with the kids." I have seen Trolls World Tour. I think it was genius. I mean, I don't think every movie could do it, but that movie especially is a movie that, you know, families are home. I've seen it with the Big Show, which is a family sitcom. Like, people are dying to look for stuff to watch with their kids and family stuff. And Trolls, like, I don't think you could do that with Fast and the Furious 9, but, like, right. Trolls is a perfect movie to test that. Because so many people wanted to see that movie and so many families wanted to see that movie. I thought it was great. When they brought us in to work on the first Trolls, I didn't know what to expect. And I saw it. I was like, God, this is such a delightful movie. They did such a good job. And I think the second one only expands on it.
Glad you enjoyed Trolls World Tour.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I still want to take my kids to the movie theaters. You know, but I think that in this time where, you know, we also, you know, everyone's looking for anything they can do, I think it was a smart move.
Yeah.
Really smart.
Absolutely. And you mentioned American Dad a little bit earlier here on the podcast. You are a supervising producer on that. Can you believe that in September, they are going to air the 300th episode of American Dad?
No, it's amazing. So I worked on it for a couple years. I love the show. I think, like, it's one of the most underrated shows, especially one of the most underrated animated shows in a long, long time. I just think, you know, Family Guy is such this massive, huge hit show, and I think some people, especially early on, just sort of felt like it was another Family Guy, when in truth, it's, like, very different. One of the great things about working on Solar Opposites was, like, Roger's one of my favorite characters to write for ever. And so I'm so happy for the guys for American Dad. I'm so happy it's lived on TBS. I mean, I think it's great. I think there's a couple writers that have been there the whole time, which is amazing.
Wow.
And so I think, you know, sometimes Solar, that second show from the creator of the first one, I think that's why I loved Solar so much, because it has, you know, some of the greatness that makes Rick and Morty so great, but it's also very different, you know. And I think that was really important for them to sort of establish a different, you know, as much, and make it as much different as possible, while also making sure that all the Rick and Morty fans can watch and go, oh, I love this too.
Yeah, absolutely. And where are you in terms of production? Are you working on the show at home right now? Are all the people from Solar Opposites working on some of season two at home during this coronavirus time?
Yes, we are. We're pretty much, the scripts have all been written, are close to being written, and we're working on, all the animators are working away, and we're seeing cuts of animatics and colors and. Or no colors yet, but animatics and storyboards. So everyone's working from home. I mean, animation, it took a moment, but the great thing about about animation is you can actually keep going.
Yeah.
So everyone's working away for second season. We don't know yet when it's going to be out, but we haven't had to slow down that much at all. A lot of the voice had already been recorded, and what we haven't gotten, we'll get when we're farther down the line.
Animation is one of the genres and one of the things that is still going in the entertainment industry during all of this, and people are consuming it because people love animation.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. I mean, I've done all different kinds. And, you know, I just, it was so fun for me to get back into it because it had been a while. And I love it. And you know, I'm really proud of the show. I'm really so happy to have been able to work with Mike and Justin, you know, and I'm excited for people to finally see it.
Yes, this Friday, May 8th on Hulu, the entire first season of Solar Opposites. Josh Bysel, thank you so much for being on the LCJ Q&A today. This was a lot of fun.
Of course, my pleasure. Thanks, Jackson.
I'm Lights, Camera, Jackson. For more, go to lights-camera-jackson.com, Twitter at LCJReviews, and Instagram at LightsCamJackson. See you next time on the podcast.